I've always found it kind of interesting that the beginning of the church year starts at the end. It starts with the second coming of Christ, and then it moves through Advent toward the expectation of the first coming of Christ. In some ways, in human logic, it's flopped from the way it should be. And yet, there's a wonderful kind of strange logic in that, because as we often say here, for God, there is no time. If you exist infinitely, then there is no time, and all time is now. And so we, particularly in the liturgy, we exist in God's timelessness, despite the fact that most of our ordinary lives are lived very much chronologically, one moment after the other, and it's in, and we're kind of locked in time. But the liturgy invites us, through readings about the past and through expectation of the future, to kind of be in the presence of God at every moment, and to recognize that God is not just coming once 2,000 years ago and another time at the end of time, but God is always present, God is always coming. But if you look at it kind of chronologically, human life begins in a garden, and it journeys through the desert, and it ends in a city, Jerusalem, the heavenly city. And the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, talks about the new heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens. That's the end times. That's the final coming of Christ. So we start in a garden, and the garden is a symbol of unity, where all of God's creation is in harmony and in union with God, and Adam and Eve are placed in the midst of that created physical manifestation of God, and they're nestled in there in perfect harmony and union. And then they destroy all that by original sin. So there's a willful alienation from God and from the rest of God's creation at the same time. Cold, nakedness, discomfort, alienation, alienation from the serpent, alienation from nature. Everything happens because of the fall. And then there is a journey back to God, and that's the desert. And it's symbolized in the Old Testament by the pilgrimage journey that they make for 40 years, and 40 years is a biblical lifetime. In other words, what we're saying is that the journey is long and it's arduous. It's through the desert. And it's not a smooth way. It's got rocks and waterless wasteland. It's dangerous, and you wonder if you're ever going to get through it. And that's the human journey, isn't it? It's the pilgrimage to the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. They're journeying toward Jerusalem, toward Israel. And then in the middle of that journey, even after they've arrived in Israel, they get exiled and they have to start all over again. And isn't that the story of the human journey to God? You make progress and then you sin. You fall, or life happens, and it's two steps forward and one step back. And you just wonder if you're ever going to get there, if it's all going to finally become harmonious and in union with God like it was intended. And that's what hope is all about. Hope is about trusting that God is acting sometimes even in spite of us. Certainly cooperating with us, and when we're cooperating with God's grace, there's a union and we're making the same journey. But there are other times when we're at odds with God, and whether we're willful about that or not, we're actually struggling against God instead of with God. And then we lose faith in ourselves. We lose faith in the fact that we are somehow destined and called to this, despite our own weakness. The prophet Baruch today speaks to Jerusalem. And he speaks to Jerusalem in all those time zones, past, present, and future, in that kind of timelessness of God. And he says, take off your robe of mourning. Wonderful image that the prophets use about putting things on or taking them off as if they were clothing. You have clothed yourself in mourning. Take off that robe of mourning and put on the glory of God. Again, as if it were a cloak that you could attach to yourself. And he says, look east. East is Babylon. East is where the exiled people were taken away and put. But the prophet Baruch envisions a time when they will return. So look east and see your children returning to you, to their mother. And then he predicts that the highways will be made smooth, that the rocks and the hills and the valleys and the danger and the hardship that's in the desert is all going to be kind of leveled away and a smooth highway made back to the city of Jerusalem. And this is, again, about us, because we're very aware of the rockiness. We're aware of the hills, the mountains that we have to climb over, that the struggle of faith and the hardness of the journey. And yet we have to listen to the prophet Baruch and Isaiah and those other prophets who predicted that God is even going to level the nature. That in the same way that God created the natural world for us in the garden, he is preparing a new garden. He's preparing a level place, a smooth highway back to the city of God. And then St. Paul in that second reading tells the Ephesians, I'm so happy for you. I'm so impressed with the way you accepted the gospel message from the very, very first day and how you've been faithful to it. But I know that the way is long, and I know that you fall from time to time. And so just know that you're in my prayers, because I'm praying that you will remain faithful, that you'll make it through this desert, this journey, right up to the day of Christ Jesus, and that you will remain holy and blameless in his sight right up to the final day. And in the gospel, we meet John the Baptist, the precursor of Christ. So we know we're not talking about the second coming so much. Now we're moving to the first coming. And John the Baptist is where? He's in the wilderness. He's out in the desert. That's where you meet God. That's where you face into the hardness of the journey and find that God is there too. And so out there in the wilderness where nobody wants to go, everybody would rather be in the safety of Jerusalem. And John the Baptist somehow feels this call from the Holy Spirit to go out where nobody wants to go. And he's out there preaching, and strangely enough, a number of people find his preaching attractive. And it's confrontational. Change your lives. Get ready, because the time is upon you. Stop your sins and take a baptism of washing away from sin and prepare yourself to meet God. And people go out there in throngs and they get baptized. And even Jesus goes out and meets John the Baptist out there and allows John to baptize him. Because Jesus, God, is taking on our human flesh, our human life in every possible way so that he can redeem it from within. And so he allows himself to be baptized by the very one that he created in the beginning. He allows himself to succumb to the prayers of other humans, because he's the one who's going to redeem us from within. He's going to be the one who is going to baptize all of us in his blood. And then when we get into the new covenant, the covenant of grace, we have a Christian baptism. And that baptism reminds us of the hardness of our journey. It reminds us that the only way to life is through death. That you can't deny the desert. You can't deny the hardness of life. You embrace it because you believe, because you live in hope, because you trust that God's promise is eventually going to be fulfilled in you. And so you pass through the waters of death, a symbolic drowning, recognizing that somehow in that letting go of my life and somehow in the dying, there is also a rising. Just like in the Trinity, where the three are constantly dying for each other and receiving that same self-gift back from the other two, that the dying and rising eternal pattern of death and resurrection is what life is all about. And that's why the journey of the human race from the garden to the desert to the city, it's just going back and forth and round and round all the time. And it's struggling within each of us all the time. You can't put it on a neat straight line because we go forward and we fall back. We go around in circles and we wonder if we're getting anywhere. But we live our lives in the hope that in the midst of all that turmoil, of the struggle, of the forward and backward, the up and down, the dying and the rising, that somehow in all of that, God's grace is active in us. And we are on our way to the heavenly Jerusalem.